What's good, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey. Episode 76 of the Respect the Game podcast. We're in the new studio, so I'm trying to get my acoustics correct in here. I feel like there's a little bit of an echo in this room compared to the old one. But yeah, apologies on the. I've been on a bit of a hiatus. I got real sick 2 weeks ago. Fortunately, feeling much better. And then last week was Thanksgiving, so pretty much just blew off the week entirely. But now I'm back. You know, season's in full swing, and I'm feeling pretty exhausted already. 20 games into the NBA season. But you know, college basketball kind of had its little moment over Thanksgiving weekend and leading into this week, so had to bring on my boy Franklin Kaye. Frankie, how are you, sir?
Yo, what's up, man?
Chilling, man. Long time. What's good?
I know. I'm honored to be here. First podcast of the new office.
I know. Both of us are kind of looking around in this room like, man, this is way different than the old piece of shit office that we were in before. But it feels good. Feels good. Yeah. Nicely decorated in here. Oh, yeah. Still warm in here like the old one. So
it's cozy.
Yeah, we'll be feeling right at home soon enough. But yeah, you know, we just got a chat. College ball. You know, the PK80 was last week. The Maui, the Atlantis. I mean, in true slam fashion, we're a little late on doing the podcast about all that. So we'll just kind of talk about the week that's been going on thus far. And yeah, I mean, just to get right into it, to start, it looks like Duke is, as predicted, is going to maybe run away with the season. They're 9-0. They got wins over Texas, Michigan State, Florida, and they just beat Indiana last night in Indiana, which is always a tough place to play no matter how the program is. Marvin Bagley just looks like the real deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, thinking that this kid could be a senior in high school this year, and he's just out there dominating.
Yep.
The collegiate level is crazy. So yeah. I'm sure you've watched plenty of Duke, or at least a handful of Duke games. So what's been your main takeaway with the Blue Devils this year?
Yeah, like they're running away with it so far, like you're saying. You know, we were talking off the air. They're looking so good that even Grayson Allen, who like all of a sudden last year everybody was off the wagon and people were saying how, you know, he was not even in any mock drafts anymore coming into the season. And all of a sudden he's back in as a top 20, top 25 draft pick. If you look at certain boards, he's looking really good. He's doing 17 a game, 4 or 5 rebounds, 4 or 5 assists, something like that.
I think he had 40, like when they played Michigan's, or who they played in the Champions Classic, was it Kansas or, it was Michigan Kansas State?
Yeah.
I think Kansas played Kentucky, right?
Right.
I don't know. Whatever it was. Grayson,
he had a crazy game.
I think he had like close to 40 points. So he went off.
So he's looking really good. I mean, and they're starting four other freshmen. You know, you have Trevon Duvall, Gary Trent, Wendell Carter, Marvin Bagley. So it's basically four freshmen and Grayson. And Grayson is doing a good job being the leader. Like you're saying, Marvin, what is Marvin averaging? Like some crazy.
He's having 22 and 11.
There you go.
As a freshman. Which is wild. You know. So
I remember we were talking during the summertime when we had another podcast about, you know, he was in LA completely just killing it, playing against grown men at the program level. And so this is light work for him. And I mean, it looks so easy. We're talking about Coach K now. It looks like the Coach Cal a few years ago when he just had all these 5-star players and cruising through the regular season. Like it was nothing. I mean, they have, you know, right now, all four freshmen are supposed to be top 20 picks in the 2018 NBA draft. So they are stacked, but then, you know, one thing is to be stacked. Another thing is to actually go out there and be able to compete. I mean, those first two games, actually, when you compare it to, for example, Kentucky, one of them was against your alma mater, Vermont. I mean, it was a close game throughout.
Yo, might I add, Vermont received one top 25 vote this week in the AP poll. That's big, man, for University of Vermont.
Is this real?
Dude, that's the most factual thing I've ever uttered on this podcast.
Wow. Who was that, you?
Nah, I don't get the AP vote, not yet, unfortunately. It was probably like the beat writer for the Catamounts, but whatever, man, that's a vote.
Shout out to him, wow.
Yeah, but as you were saying.
I don't even know how to follow that up. Wow.
You can't, so just end it right now.
All right, there you go, guys. You can see the contrast right away. Like Kentucky, obviously, you know, they also have a bunch of 5-star players and, you know, top 40 guys coming in. But this team just, you know, and I hate to do the whole brotherhood, you know, hashtag the Duke has, but they just seem to have gel right away from the get-go. They know where each player is at, you know, where to find them, where to deliver the ball. And so it's just looking so smooth. It's looking great. But obviously, and we talked about this, you know, by the time March comes around and you're competing against, you know, these kind of Wichita State and these kind of much older teams that are, you know, full of juniors and seniors, you know, we'll see how they respond to that. But as of right now, they're pretty much just cruising through the regular season, which is pretty fascinating. I think Marvin is probably the clear-cut number one pick, especially now that Michael Porter went down. I don't think that's much of probably a discussion at this point. And so he's running away with it. But like I said, let's see how they react once they have, you know, a couple of they're back against the wall. And you know, they're going to hit that. I mean, the ACC, they're going to hit not a wall, but they're going to hit a tough stretch. Just like any other team in that conference does. Yeah. So we'll see how they react.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their schedule now. I know that game was against Michigan State that Grayson went off in. And I'm looking at their schedule. They don't really have a tough game again until the end of this month when they play Florida State. So
that's ACC.
Yeah, the beginning. That's their first ACC game. So, yeah, I mean, they're probably going to be 13-14-0 by the time that rolls around. And as you said, like, they're so polished already. I was watching that game against Indiana, and you almost forget that they have a guy like Wendell Carter.
Right.
And then you see him make an amazing block on one end, and then him and Bagley already making great big-to-big passes, playing off each other, the high-low post. Like, this is a totally these kids look like they're 21, 22 years old playing in the third, fourth year.
Right.
And, you know, you mentioned – again, the brotherhood thing and Grayson. I think Grayson's a big part of that. Like, he's been around. He takes all the heat for that team.
Right.
You know, everywhere they go, he's the one that's getting chewed out by the fans. Yep. You know, when they're on TV, the analysts are going to be talking about Grayson this, Grayson that, Grayson this, Grayson that. But, you know, he could potentially be player of the year. And he's just been around the block. Whereas a team like Kentucky, as loaded and talented as they are, like, they just have no one like that. They have no junior or senior that can kind of handle everything. Mm-hmm. So it kind of all falls on like a Kevin Knox and the Hamidou Diallos of the world.
You mentioned Kentucky. I think it kind of reminds me back to that Kentucky team that won all the way. I think it was 2012. Yes. Yeah. And you had, you know, two guys that came back that were crucial was Terrence Jones and Deron Lamb came back for the sophomore years.
Yeah, Deron Lamb was a leading scorer on that team.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he had like 30 something in that national championship game. Yeah. But then you had, obviously, you know, Michael Gilchrist and Anthony Davis down low. So it was a good combination of sort of these guys that have been around the block for a minute and kind of knew what it was to play at that high level. And then you have, obviously, you know, blue chips, five-star freshmen to sort of complement them. I think you kind of, I mean, you have, like, we were talking off the air, but you don't have Marquise Bolden off the bench. You have all American guys that are still, like, the sixth, seventh, eighth man in that roster aside from the starting five. So, weirdly enough, they're sort of kind of actually deep despite the fact that they have, you know, four freshmen in the starting lineup. But I think it's pretty cool to sort of see, like, what Grayson has sort of become in terms of, like, he is sort of their leader, even if he's not the leading scorer, just in terms of, you know, mentally and maturity and just sort of being there in these big moments.
Yeah, and Kentucky's also missing Jared Vanderbilt, who was another highly regarded freshman. So they're not a finished product yet. You know, Duke's going to slip up at some point. Oh, my God, I almost choked to death. but you mentioned Michael Porter Jr., he's out for the year with back injury, probably almost assuredly going to hurt his draft stock just by default, especially since it's a back injury. It's not like a torn or a broken leg or something like that.
Well, it's so weird because they didn't like rule out. They were like most likely out for the season.
Yeah, it's fishy, but I mean, I give the kid the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Even if like I wouldn't even come back, even if he was able to play, like why come back in like middle of March or whatever? Put yourself in like right there on the fly. Like, you know what I mean? There's no point of like.
Well, I think you and I share the similar feelings that this kid shouldn't be at Missouri, period. He should be in the NBA right now. So, I don't know. It's just a shame. And then, you know, you look at LiAngelo Ball's case in China. There's no telling when he's going to play. And we put both these guys on the cover in the last 6 months. Yeah. So it's like, is the slam cover curse real? But we also put Bagley on the cover. So that kind of negates it.
Yeah. Yeah, knock on wood.
Yeah.
For now. Well, the weird thing about Michael Porter is that, you know, so we did the whole little video feature on the whole family. You know, it was a cool story. They had four siblings in total that are in Mizzou. His two sisters, Sierra and Bree, are on the women's team. And then his brother, Jonte, and you know, Michael are on the man's team, right? Bree, his sister, his older sister, who's a senior now, also is out for the season.
Oh, wow.
She has tore her ACL five times throughout her career. And this is probably the end of her career. So it's kind of very sad because it was sort of this uplifting story. You know, all four of them were going to be, you know, finally at Mizzou together in the basketball program, you know, two on the women's side, two on the men's side. And now Bree and Michael Porter obviously will not be suiting up this season. So yeah, that's tough. You know, ACL tears. I think in like a 4-year span. So yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? But you know,
I actually watched Missouri play over Thanksgiving. Yeah. Then they played St. John's, and you know, they actually got it's actually kind of whack. It's very whack that Porter got hurt, but they actually got some talent. Jonte, he looked good. Yeah. Jeremiah Tillman looked good. So, you know, they got some dudes on that team. Yeah. And obviously they would have been taken to another level with Porter. So That's a shame. Totally. Cause you know, he's likely never going to play a game from Missouri at this point.
Yeah. You know, hometown kid from, you know, from the area. Well, he moved there when he was younger. So yeah, it was a great story. I mean, it was inspiring, and it's just unfortunate that, you know, we never got to see what could have happened. But I guess moving on to LiAngelo. Yeah. I don't know. Is it a curse? I mean, first of all, so that cover, LaMelo never played for Chino Hills ever again after that. So there's that. LiAngelo may not ever play for UCLA. Who knows what happens? I don't even know what to say, man. This might be a real thing, man. This I don't know. I don't know. Like, Iverson turned out fine, and Jordan and LeBron turned out fine.
Jordan turned out all right. Right? Yeah. I know. Magello, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. The whole thing is, I feel like this story is like dead already, just in the sense that like Trump isn't involved anymore, and LeVar and Trump aren't going, which was inevitable in 2017. Oh, yeah. Knew that was going to happen at some point.
This is summer of 2017. And like, yeah.
Yeah. It was a perfect
nutshell. That's what.
The perfect way to end the year was LaVar Ball and Donald Trump going at each other.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Jello, you know, he's at 24, balling with LaMelo. So, he's still working out. I can only imagine how many times they've been to the Lakers facility at this point. Mm-hmm. I would obviously love to see Jello play at least a handful of games for UCLA. But at this point, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he was just like, nah, I'm good. I ain't going back.
That's the word. It sounds like he might not. I don't know.
So, what about the other kids?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're gonna rule for all three. From what I've read and understand, they're not allowed to participate with any sort of team activities whatsoever. But they are attending the school. Mm-hmm. And so they have to get reinstated back into the program, and I guess that depends on their behavior and a bunch of other factors. But it sounds like public perception is that UCLA should, you know, ban them from the entire year, and we'll see if UCLA decides to sort of fold and say fine, or if they, you know, bring them back. But I mean, these are, you know, these are three guys. I mean, Cody and Jalen were like, you know, top 60, top 70 players in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, LiAngelo led the state of California in scoring. So these are like legitimately three pieces that were going to obviously be part of the puzzle. Sure. So that's a very tough decision they have to make. But yeah, it's just weird. I mean, hopefully, you know, yeah.
I mean, it was an international incident. So you can't really sweep it under the rug for UCLA.
Exactly.
But on to a more of a happier story. Yeah. Our boy Trae Young, man, is going off from Oklahoma. Another similar to Porter, the hometown kid.
Yeah.
Went to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. And they play AU together, Mocan Elite.
That's right. I forgot teammates. About that. But Trae, you know, he was on our radar.
Yeah.
And I think he was McDonald's All-American. Yeah. I'm not positive. But he wasn't getting the same buzz as all these other kids, like the Bagleys and the Porters and the Trae Duvalls and what have you of the world. But I mean, Jesus, man, this kid is going crazy. Yeah. He's averaging 28 points, eight and a half assists a game. He had 43 against Oregon at the PK80. And I mean, he looks like, you know, I hate to do this comparison cause it's not fair to him, but he looks like Steph Curry out there. Mm-hmm. Like he's dribbling around, he's making these crazy passes, he's pulling up from 40.
Oh yeah,
you know, no conscience. He's, you know, the ball is constantly in his hand, and it's really fun to watch.
Right. Yeah. You know, the weird thing is that so he went to Norman High School, right? Grew up in Norman, so grew up in that town. And he was a ball boy when Blake Griffin was playing there, and when Jeff Capel's now the assistant at Duke was the head coach. So he was a ball boy for the program. So he's been around that program for a long time. He lives like two exits off the, you know, down the block, basically. And so, you know, you were saying like people weren't talking about him that much last year. But, you know, he averaged his senior year, he averaged 42.6 points per game. So he was like it's hard to like come up with an official leading scorer for the country. But by all accounts, he was like the unofficial leading scorer for the entire nation, averaging 43 points per game. So this guy was going off. You know, I think at one point he had like back-to-back 50s or 60-point games. Can shoot it from anywhere unconsciously. Listed at 6'1", and I think that's kind of probably the reason why A lot of these scouting services were sort of a little bit, not ready to crown him this or that. But now, you know, he wasn't in any mock drafts coming into the season. Now he's like top 25.
Really?
You know, he's in the first round in some mock drafts. And so great story. Yeah, hometown kid, you know, grew up around the program. And now he's sort of putting the team on his back, you know.
Yeah, I can't name a single other player on Oklahoma.
Same.
So, but... I implore anyone who, if Oregon's ever on when you're, Oklahoma's ever on when you're flipping channels, just watch for at least 10 minutes, see this kid play. I don't know how it translates to the next level, if it does at all, but, you know, he's kind of got that game that, you know, the modern NBA game. Like, he's limitless range.
Yeah.
You know, he has great vision. Obviously, he's averaging 9 assists. So who knows, man? You never know. They were saying the same stuff about a ton of players who are undersized who are taking over now. But randomly, I was just watching some of his highlights last night, and I came across, remember Marcus Keene from last year?
Yeah.
He was averaging 30 a game.
Uh-huh.
And I was just watching his highlights again. Like, he was such a joy to watch.
Where's Marcus?
He's playing overseas somewhere, I checked. But he played, I think, in the summer league. Okay. And like the G League for a little bit, but he's probably making good money overseas. Yeah. But that dude was awesome. Yeah. Watch, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, mad random tangent there. Just had to shout out Marcus Keene real quick.
Oh, always do forever.
We got to talk about the Young Bull, Colin Sexton, man. Big fan of him over at Slam. Have been since probably first on my radar, probably his junior year. I don't know about you. Probably a little earlier than that. But just, I've always loved the way he plays the game. Super tough kid. Yeah. Just takes no shit on the court, which I love to see. Like, super, he's a throwback guard.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is probably a little dated now, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it. You know, Minnesota played Alabama at Barclays Center. Long story short, multiple players from Alabama get kicked off the court for stepping on after a scuffle broke out. So they were left with 5 players. One fouled out. One got hurt. They played 5-on-3. And the Young Bull just went off. And I think he had like 40 in the game.
Yeah, 40.
They outscored Minnesota 30-22 during that stretch and almost came back and won.
Yeah.
It's like literally one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen in college.
Yeah. Well, and it happened right now in our own backyard.
Yeah.
And we didn't go. We didn't go.
Shockingly enough, we did not go. In my defense, I wasn't in the city. So I don't know about you.
I wasn't a city. So another conversation, but it was holiday weekend, so a lot of things was happening that weekend.
Yeah, we were busy, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us a break.
Exactly. Well, weirdly enough, that game wasn't even on TV. It was 2 top 25 teams. So I don't know. Someone dropped the ball there.
It was on Facebook. They streamed it on Facebook. Yeah, that's the new TV, though.
I guess
that's where if Ball and the Family is on Facebook. That's the only TV I'm watching.
That's literally, there you go. Fact. So that was weird. It wasn't on TV, so I couldn't even find it. And then first of all, day one of that showcase ended up being pushed to LIU because they had overbooked Barclays. There was a Nets game. There was another college game that they know that they got confused with. So a lot of weird. So it was only right that the game ended up being a 5-on-3 at the end. Like,
you know, sounds like an AAU tournament.
Yeah. All things. So like that was like the perfect ending. It had to be a 5-on-3 at the end. But I mean, it was a pretty good, I think I was, Patino was speaking after Richard. Afterwards, he was kind of saying, you know, they got, not blown out, but obviously, he was basically saying, we don't practice 3-on-5. No. So I don't know how to, like, the guys defend and guard. It wasn't a thing that they've ever sort of prepared for.
Yeah. And I mean,
people were joking on them, obviously, but it's kind of like, what are you doing that kind of situation?
I feel like the kids were getting probably a little uptight because they're just so wide open.
Right.
That they're like, all right. And it's different, you know, if that happened in an NBA game, the team with 5 is going to win by 85 points. But in college, it's totally different.
Right.
So I feel like the kids are probably getting a little uptight and they're like, oh man, in front of like the 350 people that were at the Barclays Center and
the whole
everyone.
Fam.
Yeah.
Family.
And everyone watching, on Facebook, you know, they're probably like a little uptight and like, man, if I brick this shot for the entire Jelly Fam, I'll never hear the end of it. And they went out and bricked a ton of shots, and I'm sure they're still not hearing the end of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, and shout outs to Avery Johnson. I mean, I thought he was going to throw in the towel after that.
Yeah.
And that was very weird. But yeah, Colin, I mean, I think with Colin, so he averaged 31.3 31.7 points per game during the EYBL tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
EYBL, you know, the toughest, most talent-loaded circuit, sneaker circuit there is in the grassroots level, and 31.7 is the record in their, whatever, 7-8 years in existence. So he holds the record for the, you know, highest season average ever. And the cool thing is that, so coming into his senior, the summer before his senior year, he was not really a, like a top 50, top 75 ranked national player. All of a sudden, comes into EYBL that summer before his senior year, averages, you know, 32 points per game, and then emerges into a top 20, top 25, top 15 player in the country. I mean, a lot of people are now sort of saying that maybe he's a candidate for the top point guard in college basketball. And obviously, you have Trevon Duvall, you have a lot of guys that are also in a conversation. But yeah, and he prides himself. I mean, he says in a bunch of interviews that he is the biggest trash talker you'll ever find and come across, and he's proud of it, and he, you know, takes it in stride, and he gets in people's heads. You know, that's what he enjoys doing. He's like a Pat Beverly, but you know,
more skilled,
offensively a little more gifted.
I mean, if I remember correctly, he like got in a fight at the Ball's Life All American game, or like the practices, right?
He was scrapping. Who was it with? I want to say Jalen Hands, but I'm not 100% sure. But it was another guard. Yeah, they were like completely just like wrestling.
And if you've ever watched one of those games, they're the biggest joke games of all time.
Yeah.
Like they're just guys running up and down the court dunking, no defense displayed. So that just goes to show you, he every time he steps on the court, he's taking it dead serious.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh yeah. He's a bull.
Yeah. Total throwback player. So yeah, I mean, I was looking at like the top 15 on NBADraft.net, and he's right in that lottery. So and he'll probably go even higher if he keeps playing like that. But what's my man's name on Alabama, the other kid they got?
Oh, John Petty.
John Petty. Yeah,
he's also top 25, top 30 recruit.
Yeah.
So they have legitimately two five-star players in their starting lineup. The SEC is always kind of like here and there. So meaning that, you know, we wouldn't be surprised if they're up there in terms of, you know, cumulative crop in that conference.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about – oh, no, we didn't talk about Florida except to say that Duke beat them. But they were, you know, number 7 before Duke beat them. Uh-huh. And so, you know, between Duke, Bama, Kentucky, they, you know, it's three
– yeah,
potentially top 20 teams that are going to be right in there in the SEC. So, you know, better than in years past. I mean, Vanderbilt is randomly winning some games, and they got some, they just landed two top five or two five-star recruits.
Right.
So the SEC is on the rise. Maybe it's just not Kentucky anymore. One man show.
Oh yeah. Times have changed.
Yeah. Well, they always do, don't they?
About time. I guess we could, Vanderbilt has been doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they have Darius Garland, who's a, you know, top 15 player point guard at Nashville, Tennessee, coming in. And then, you know, they also, so I mean, they have Simi,
it's like Shitu. Something, right? Yeah.
And he's Canadian, a big man, but they have Romeo Langford, who's top 3 in the country. Mm-hmm. He's down to Indiana, Kansas, and Vanderbilt.
And he's from Indiana, right?
He's from Indiana. And so that'll be pretty fascinating, because if he chooses Vanderbilt, they'll have 3 of the top 15 players in the country going to Vanderbilt.
And remember when I was like, who's the coach there? And you were like, I think it's Bryce Drew is the coach at Vanderbilt.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, man. Because like they weren't getting anyone for years.
Right.
But, oh, you know what? Free Billy Preston, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
So.
He's still not back?
No, he's not playing,
it was
man.
Three-game thing.
Not playing. So Billy Preston at Kansas, freshman at Kansas, big-time recruit. Right before they were about to play Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Michigan State?
Right before the first game, I think.
It was Kentucky. It was at the Champions Classic.
Uh-huh.
And so he had been suspended for the first game for something unrelated.
Right.
And then literally like an hour, 2 hours before
the
Kentucky game, the very weird press release came out from Kansas. It said like Billy Preston was involved in a car accident on campus,
which was a one car accident, only about one car, his car hitting the curb.
No
police report. The only like actual like damages were that the tire was scraped. So sorry, go ahead. This is the accident that happened.
And so I'm gonna fuck up the wording here, but basically it was like the school needs to look into the financial not ramifications, but basically it sounded like they were checking to see, like, why is Billy Preston driving an expensive-ass car around campus?
First, they said the financials of the car, and I was like, I think I texted you. I was like, wait, are they trying to figure out, like, how much the car cost or how much the damages were? Or are they trying to figure out how he can afford the car?
I mean, I'm willing to bet it's the latter, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that whoever wrote that press release wasn't very clear.
So Billy Preston, who was on this very podcast, the Respect the Game podcast, is now, you know, they got my man locked up. They won't let him free, man.
Yeah, I think it's like a Dodge. It's a cool. Is it a Charger?
You know what kind of car he was driving? Are we breaking news?
No, it was an article somewhere.
I don't want to misspeak here. So yeah. I'm gonna.
It was a Dodge something.
Okay.
And so they make every student. You know, they have to sort of put in what cars they're driving, so they know ahead of time what cars they're driving, and they knew this car was already, he had reported already, so and they had already dug in, they already sort of, and they had already given him the green light, and all of a sudden they're going back and, oh wait, let's revisit it. So it's very weird, because what he's saying is that, you know, he had followed the protocol, which is you let the school know which car you're driving, you put it down, and they do whatever they do, and they sort of give you the thumbs up.
But yeah, they got such a sketchy track record with guys like Xavier Henry, you know, even like I think Wiggins, you know, he just like didn't really materialize the way they thought they would. So I don't know. Things just always seem to go like a little awry for the freshmen who go to Kansas. It's very strange.
Yeah. Police investigations. Weird stuff are always happening over there. Yeah. I don't know.
So I don't know. I mean, so the word, there's really no word on Billy right now. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Free Billy Preston.
Yeah. So that's really all it comes down to. Just try holding that thing.
Nah, I could have sworn. See, now it's working.
Yeah, just hold it. We'll just do five more minutes.
Gotcha.
So yeah, and then the other bit of news I just want to touch on very briefly.
Yeah.
Was Bol Bol committing to Oregon.
That was big.
Huge. Bol Bol is the number four recruit in the country, I think. He's going to Finley Prep now in Nevada.
Transfer like the week before the season or something like that.
Yeah, so he was at Crossroads, or
he was at Matter Day in Santa Ana, California. And yeah, he made the move to Finley, who's, you know, one of the top prep schools in the country. So now he's in Vegas. But that was a pretty big deal, right? So he was down in Oregon and Kentucky, and ultimately, you know, decided to go with Oregon. But you know, they've been on fire lately. I mean, they were in the final, you know, one of the finalists for RJ Barrett. You know, so RJ was down in Kentucky, Duke, and Oregon. And ultimately decided to go to Duke. But, you know, they have Lewis King coming in, who's a top 20 player. They have two other guys. They have, you know, Will Richardson. They have Miles Norris. They're both, like, top 60, top 70 guys. So they have, you know, three top 100 kids coming in. And I think they're, you know, obviously going out there hunting for more. So Oregon's definitely on the come up. And I think that was a good get for them. I mean, a lot of people were saying, he could have gone to Kentucky and sort of not had to be like the man and have all eyes on him and, you know, have to worry about that. So it'll be interesting to see that he decided, you know what, I prefer to actually be under a microscope and sort of be the one that sort of has to, because, you know, if it doesn't work out, obviously, you know, people are going to point to, you know, just like they did with Ben Simmons when at LSU. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I love it. I mean, I love the fact that he chose Oregon over Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, he basically said in his player tribute thing that he chose Oregon for the sneakers, which is just a legendary thing to do. So Bol Bol is this, for those who don't know, the son of Manute Bol, the late Manute Bol. And he's just a legend, man. His social media accounts are hilarious. He's just like, he's down with Playboi Carti and Lil Uzi Vert and Ian Connor. So he's just like a rock star basically at 17 years old. So man, I can't wait to see Bol in the NBA eventually. So we'll see what happens at Oregon
very soon.
Yeah.
I'm hyped. There's all this talk also about, I mean, I know we like don't have it in the thing and agenda, but like
we don't need this. Fuck this script, man.
Like the last month or so, there's been all this chatter about, you know, starting potentially with the class of 2019. It might be straight from high school to the draft. So we'll see where that leads to, but it sounds like it's going to be rather sooner than later. And so that might be like LaMelo's class, right? Yeah. If it's 2019.
Shocking. Everything comes up Ball family, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I wonder how much, well, it probably has a lot to do with the FBI investigation that's going on.
Right.
That we touched on the last time we spoke on here.
Right.
But even that's kind of seems like it's, you know, gone away now that the games have started. You haven't really heard any news.
Right. But aside from that, I mean, and it's sort of kind of related to that, but also the players have been very, I mean, Ben Simmons still to this day is still very outspoken about, you know, his time in college and how, you know, he felt like it was a waste of time and he shouldn't have been there. And a lot of the guys, you know, we talked about Michael Porter Jr. He should be making millions right now, but shouldn't be in college, and Marvin Bagley, all these guys. And so, I think a lot of it also has been, I think players have been very outspoken about it. They've pushed back, and I think the NBA is listening and they're saying, you know what, I think it's time for a change. But yeah, I mean, But at the same time, I'll be interested to see how many of these guys that probably do need a year or two in college will end up being drafted, and whether, you know, because I remember how it was back in the day, you know, in the early 2000s when, you know, you had what was like 7-8 guys every draft coming in straight from high school, and sort of, you know, and that kind of the competition was obviously watering down because a lot of these guys were not ready to be in the NBA. So I'm very curious to see sort of what this leads to in terms of competition wise.
Yeah, and I think the rule that they're potentially or that they're discussing is if you decide to go to college, it's you have to stay at least 2 years, I think, is what I read.
Yeah.
Which is similar to what baseball does. If you go pro and you don't get drafted, you have to go to college for three years. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, that obviously benefits the college game too. So it's, I think it's a win-win for both. Yeah. Kids are going to have to be honest with themselves,
right?
Which is tough for an 18-year-old kid who's been the man on the court for basically his whole life to realize if he's not good enough, he's going to have to stick it out 2 years. But
a good opportunity for the G League too, right? Was the G League around during the first round of all these high school kids going?
No, because you think of like Lenny Cook, he played in like the CBA and all these random ass leagues. Right. Like there was no G League. But I mean, even that's been kind of a thing for what's my man who went to Carolina? PJ something. He got kicked out of Carolina. And then he instead of going to the draft, he just went straight to the G League, and then he made it to the NBA.
PJ Harrison, I think it is.
Yeah, Harrison. Yeah. That's it. PJ Harrison.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think this is a great opportunity for the league to really invest in the G League and help those kids. You're looking at a kid like Javon Quinterly. We don't know what's going to happen with him. And you know that could be potentially a viable option for him.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson, who was supposed to be a top 25 player. He was top 25 player in the class of 2017, and ultimately decided to sort of pull out of school. And now he's just, from what I understand, training, just working out, getting ready for the draft. And so there you go. That's another guy that obviously would have sort of kind of put that to use. I think I'm fascinated to see what happens now. There's a G League around. So it's definitely very different. You know, people saying, well, we're going back to the old ways. Well, the G League wasn't around. A lot of these other things were not around. The first time is going to see what this second round means in terms of that.
Like, the NBA now is way more set up for guys to have 5 to 10 year careers than it was back in the day. You know, like, if you get drafted now, you're almost guaranteed to get a second contract at this point. There's the rare case, I mean, that a guy will get cut and then for whatever reason it doesn't get picked back up.
Yeah.
But even if you're floating on like a 2 year, like $12 million deal after your first contract, that's huge compared to back in the day where you get cut and you're in no man's land, you know? So I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, the league's in a great place. College basketball is in a very strange place, but the talent is excellent. I mean, you want to just talk rookies real quick that's going on right now?
Let's do it.
So obviously our boy Lonzo,
you know,
having his ups and downs. The big up this week is the BBB shipped worldwide. So
November 24th, ask promise.
So if you ordered those, you know, send us your pics of the BBB. What is the ZO2 remix?
ZO2 remix.
It's not the ZO2 Prime anymore, right?
No.
ZO2 remix.
ZO2 remix.
But, you know, he's not been amazing on the court, which... Yeah. It is kind of to be expected. It's only his first 20 games of what should be a long career.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been telling me you've been watching a lot of Laker games. So what have you been seeing from Zoe?
I mean, he's rebounding the ball pretty well. I mean, I think last week, a couple of weeks ago, he had like two games where he had 16 rebounds one game. And like 2 days later, you know, 14 rebounds the next. He's rebounding the ball exceptionally well. I think his passing, I mean, he's much better when they just sort of go in playing full court transition, where it seems like they're setting up a lot of, you know, sort of half court sets, and that's not really when he sort of flourishes. Despite that, he's averaging, you know, 7 assists per game, 7 rebounds per game, 9 points per game. And so 9-7-7, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's pretty good for a kid that just turned 20
for sure.
A few weeks ago, right? Obviously, the field goal percentage needs to go up. Against the Warriors, he had a little, you know, spurt where he hit back-to-back threes. Next possession goes in, takes it straight to the hole for a layup, and hits another third three, like probably like 3 minutes later. It was like he had 11 points within like a 4 or 5 minute span in the third quarter. So it's obviously there. I think it's more of a confidence thing, but I think once he gets that confidence, to let the ball go. I mean, I think Luke was saying that he's like sinking it, like just splashing every three during practice. And mm-hmm. when game time comes, obviously that's not the case. So he's, you know, he's got to keep shooting. But it sounds like in practice, at least from what Luke is saying, he's making it rain. So it's just a matter of, you know, going into game time mode and doing it as well.
Yeah, and I think Stephen Curry hit it on the head when he was like, I hope you guys didn't judge me on my first 20 games because they had like a side-by-side. Yeah,
I think it was like 11-4-4.
It was like nearly identical.
Well, I mean, 9-7-7 is a little. Okay. I'll take 9-7-7. But yeah, the point being.
He's got a long way to go. Yeah, a long way to go.
I think Stephen was like injured for like the first 3-4 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was. They didn't know what that dude was going to do. And then, you know, year six or whatever it was, he blew up.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ben Simmons, probably the runaway favorite for MVP right now. And doing it all without being able to shoot at all.
Rookie of the year, not MVP, but.
I said MVP?
Yeah.
No, I'm sticking by that. Then. Okay. No, I'm playing for rookie of the year. So the slam cover, I mean, based on that, the slam, well, I guess he got hurt going into his first year.
Or if you dig deep enough, we've crossed them all to some extent.
Oh, man. I'm just looking at the two covers behind you. I'm like, Jesus, man. Maybe we really did. Well, not Wade so much, but.
Yeah. That's not even. That's not looking.
Nah, we ain't got to.
But, yo, Ben's looking amazing. Yeah. You know, I think at some point, he was averaging like 29-9. He was like creeping in right there on a triple double.
I feel like he's definitely going to average triple double at some point in his career.
Oh, yeah. Dude is like 6'10 and growing. I mean, there's been rumors on Twitter that he's like, you know, creeping up on seven feet.
7 foot point guard, man.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
So it's, but you know, look, he had that 1 year where he got a chance to be around an NBA team and sit down and sort of watch people, you know, go to work. And so I think that definitely helped. But I think people are seeing, I mean, I remember when we dropped the cover and obviously we sort of remade the LeBron James cover. Which was a homage to, you know, Michael Jordan, and people were like, people gave us a lot of help for that.
Yeah.
You know, people were
all killing us.
People were, and now they're like, whoa, yeah, you know what? Actually, he reminds me of LeBron. Like, you know, but whatever. like, we didn't just say that like 20 months ago, but that's kind of like, you know, he can 6'10, can distribute a ball, you know, amazing court vision, rebounds, crashes the ball pretty well. He's pretty smart in terms of that, like, you know, his whole thing in college, people were criticizing how he couldn't shoot, whether it's mid-range or three. He stayed, I think there was a chart short where it was showing where he has not really attempted a shot, like, past, whatever, 10, 15 feet. But he doesn't need to.
No, you know? Exactly. If you can get a layup every single time,
exactly.
Would you much rather do that?
How many free throws?
24.
Yeah.
What's a record?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was an NBA record or just a rookie record, but he shot 24 and a quarter.
Yeah.
Which is insane, man.
You know, so he gets to the line, and he's aggressive, assertive, it's attacking. So, yeah, he doesn't need to shoot jump shots, you know. And so I think he's been very smart and sort of, you know, knowing what his strengths are, and he doesn't have to force it outside of his strengths.
Yeah, so. I think the Sixers are super smart for just putting the ball in his hands constantly and just letting him do his thing. Like, that's the best thing you can do.
It's free-flowing offense, and I feel like in a way that's how the Lakers' offense, you know, should go. But, I mean, Jason Tatum has looked very fantastic, obviously. Yeah. Talking about shooting, he can shoot the lights out, whether it's mid-range,
three, he looks awesome,
step
man.
Back,
yeah,
spin move, whatever the case may be. Kyle Kuzma, kind of very similar to that. I mean, the leading scorer for the Lakers. You know, he started the first, well, like 7-8 games, also off the bench, 10 games off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he was the leading scorer, and they had to start him. So now he's a you know, starting forward for them, and you know, he's been looking amazing. The steal of the draft, I would say, right? Pretty much
Kuzma,
yeah, by far.
I would say him or Donovan Mitchell,
Donovan was a lottery pick, right? And so,
late lottery,
right?
But I mean, he's balling out, man.
Yeah,
and it's funny because when I did a story on him over the summer, and I was like, so at what point did you realize, you know, you could make the league or you had the game to go to the NBA? He was like, like 6 months ago when, you know, I was working out with Chris Paul and Paul George, and they were both like, you have to go to the league. Like, what are you doing? And so for a guy who didn't even know, you know, let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. A guy who was unsure if he was ready to go to the NBA to come in and start for the Jazz. And, you know, he's already had 20 plus point games, and I think he's averaging like 16, 17 points a game. Like, mm-hmm. he's balling out. And I mean, I stupidly in the rookies most likely to put him as unfairly get bench splinters, because I just thought, you know, they had Rodney Hood, they had Alec Burks, that all those guys were going to play over him. But you know, because of injury circumstance, whatever. But he's playing a ton of minutes for them, and he looks really good. I mean, he looks like he's going to be a great pro.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he's superb. You know, he's human off the floor as well.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that dude. But yeah, that's I think that's all I got. You good?
Same.
Well, I appreciate your time, man. Always a pleasure. We'll definitely be doing this again once conference play starts.
Oh yeah.
And we'll get back into it, but. Thank you, as always, to my guy, Frankie. Thank you for everyone for checking us out. Drop us a like and a comment if you can. And we'll be back soon, man. Peace.